Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning to my radio audience this morning. I am very, very happy and excited to be here again with you this morning. I first, as always, would like to thank the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. Ahayah is his name, for giving me another chance to speak to you live here with Talk for Kids Radio Channel. We are here again, parents. We are here again to speak to you live today concerning our young people all over the earth. And I am your host of Talk for Kids Radio Channel, and my name is Elisheba. And guest call-in number for anyone would like to call in is 515-606-9790. Please feel free to call in to voice your opinion about our topic that we will have this morning. The title of this broadcast this morning is, Why is My Life Full of Pain and Misery? I am only 7. Help me. Let me repeat the title of the broadcast again. Why is my life full of pain and misery? I am only 7. Help me. So today, our broadcast will be focused again on young people. Again, I am an advocate for young people. I am an advocate. I must raise awareness about what's going on in our community, our black community, especially because I'm a black woman myself, concerning our youth and our young people today. Somebody got to take a stand. Somebody need to take a stand. Somebody need to be a voice in this earth. Concerning our young people, they need that support and they need that voice to speak up for them. And I am that voice. Why is my life full of pain? I'm only 7 years old in misery. Help me. We have some Bible verses today that we're going to go through just to bring out some things that the Bible speaks about young people going through different situations and different things in their life. I chose 7 because 7 is a very complete number. You know, 7 is a complete number. And usually when a child get about 7 years old, they start to, their mind starts to reflect and their mind start to, get build and get older. And they start to understand more things at 7 years old. I know I did. When I got 7 years old, things that I went through when I was 3 years old and 2 years old, I began to see that and understand that, what was happening to me. So as we can see today, we got a lot of young people in the world, in the earth, that are so much full of pain in their life. A lot of pain. Their life is full of pain, people. Pain. What is pain? Pain is something that will hurt you. Pain is something that destroys you. Pain is something that keeps your life very, very miserable and unhappy. I'm 7 years old. I need someone to help me because my life is in pain and misery. Why is the 7-year-old? Why is the 7-year-old life full of pain and misery? And who put that pain and misery in their life? We need to identify some people. We can identify some situations and some circumstances that might be causing this little girl or this little boy that's 7 years old with a lot of hurt, pain, and depression. as I can see, as the advocate of young people. I can see today so clear that our young people don't have no support on this earth to help them to resolve and try to figure out why their life is the way that it is and why they're going through what they're going through. You know I did that 7 years ago. I didn't have no support. I didn't have no one to talk to. I had no one to, you know, listen to me. And I was full of pain. My life was full of pain at 7 years old. So much pain, people. So much pain, so much misery, so much depression, so much everything at 7 years old. And I was just trying to understand why. Why do I have to go through all of this? And I know young people are asking that same question today. Why am I going through all of this at 7 years old? Why I can't get no love? Why people keep rejecting me? Why people keep hurting me? Why, you know, when I you know, try to go to school and make friends, don't nobody accept me? My life is full of just loneliness and fear. Okay, so I'm here today to just discuss that. Why the seven-year-old child or any child, but I'm just dealing with that number for a reason today, number seven. You know, the parents, you know, they put a lot of pain in the children's lives, okay? You know, they today, as we can see, our children, they don't have no direction. They have absolutely no direction. They don't know which way they're going. They don't know what they need to do. They are totally, totally lost today because they don't have no mentors. They don't have nobody to talk to them and direct them and guide them and show them what they need to do in their life. So the parents play a big role in the child's life, you know. They play a big role in the child's life. Then you got parents that like to abuse their children. You got parents that like to rape and molest their children. You got parents that like to beat on their children. You got parents that like to make their children go hungry. You got all kind of parents in the world, moms and dads, that's really abusive to the children. And they destroy their own children at that age. So we're going to read a Bible verse. We're going to read a Bible verse as we go farther into this broadcast. We're going to read a Bible verse. We're going to read a Bible verse. You know, as you can see, so many people today are losing their mind. Why? Because as young men and little girls and little boys, they went through a lot of abuse. They went through a lot of emotional abuse, a lot of it, a lot of it. You got kids now at 12 years old taking guns and going up in grocery stores, shooting up buildings, all kind of things at 12, 15, 16 years old. Okay, the life of a child that have been destroyed. It's been destroyed, okay? And all we can say, oh, they on drugs, or oh, they got too high, or, you know, no. It's not none of those things that you people keep labeling these young people as. The young person's life have been destroyed by pain and by misery and by abuse and by all kind of things. And now they are displaying that behavior through, you know, robbing somebody, murdering somebody. You know, at 15 years old, they murdered somebody, tried to rob them. Now they're in prison. They're in juvenile. So, you know, you just can't label things all the time like, oh, they on drugs or this going on. No, we need to get to the core problem of why the seven-year little boy hung himself or the seven-year little girl committed suicide or the seven-year little girl took her parents, her daddy gun and shot her little cousin and her little brother. We need to identify. We need to go deep into what is going on in the mind and the life of these little young people. It's something serious is going on, people. Okay, seriously. I told you when I was 7 years old, I went through a whole lot of abuse and pain and hurt and everything. And I had no support, no one to try to help me to figure out why was my life feeling the way it was? Why was I feeling the way that I was feeling? Okay, I had no one, I had no answers. I had no answers to my problems, to my pain, to my hurt, to my misery, to my depression. You know, I had no answers. I had no solutions. So I had to grow up all my life trying to figure out why. Why did I go through this? Why did that happen to me? What happened? Where was my mom at? Where was my daddy at? Where was my auntie at? Where was my cousin? Where was anybody at to help me? Where was my uncle at? Okay? None of these people was around to help me go through what I was going through as a seven-year-old little girl. Okay, and the same thing is going on today that went on when I was a child. The children don't have no one to support them. They have absolutely no one to talk to. They have absolutely no one to sit them down and give them some time to discuss what is going on in their mind, what is they feeling as young people. So now what they're doing, they're just going crazy. They just going crazy now, you know, because they ain't got no support. They don't have no support. All they do is stick them up in juveniles. Juvenile ain't going to rehabilitate no child. Juvenile would never rehabilitate a child. Jail would never rehabilitate anyone. That's why people get out of jail and they turn around and do the same thing that they was in jail for. They was in jail for murder. You know, the little boy, 12 years old, he murdered everybody in his house. His mama, his daddy, and everybody. And then they throw him in juvenile, you know, till he get adult. And then they throw him in prison. And then he stay 50 years in prison. When he get out, he go back and do murder somebody else. So those things that they have set up in this world to try to say that it is helping somebody or is rehabilitating someone. No, it's not doing anything. It's just actually making the situation worse. That's really what it's doing. A child that kills somebody at 10 years old, no, they don't need to be behind no bars or nothing like that. They need someone to talk to them, sit them down. You know, 7 years old, you killing your mom? Why is this little boy at 7 years old took a knife and stabbed his mama to death? Do you think throwing them in a juvenile going to help that situation? I don't feel so. I don't feel so. I feel that what we need to do as parents and what we need to do as pastors and leaders and community leaders, we need to figure out a solution. We need to figure out some things that we can do to help the young people. To help the young people. My God, why did he kill his mama? Why? Why, man? Because he was angry. He was bitter. He was upset. He got a lot of things going on in his mind. The mama never showed him love. The mama never showed him support. The daddy was never there. I know my mom and daddy wasn't there. But I didn't feel like, you know, I was real angry at my mom, but, you know, I didn't hurt her or nothing like that. But the young people today, their mind is not as strong as our minds was when we was younger. We was more stronger in the mind. We was more, you know, we was taught different principles and different way than the young people are taught today. Today, the young people is not being taught no principles of life. None at all. All they've been taught is go to school, get an education. That's the main thing that parents talk to their children about. Going to school, getting an education, you know, not about what's going on inside their mind, what's going on inside their hearts. They ain't talking about that. So, I'm going to read a Bible verse right now. This is Talk for Kids Radio Channel. Guest call-in number, 515-606-9790. Please call in to voice your opinion. Our first Bible verse today, we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. 1 Kings chapter 2, 1, 2, 4. Everybody busy. The mama busy, the daddy busy, everybody busy. Nobody got time for the 7-year-old little boy or the 7-year-old little girl. Everybody busy. I got to go to work. I got to go here. I got to go there. And then the child just raised herself and just end up being empty and lost and confused because they don't have no direction. They don't have no direction. They don't know what to do with their life. They don't know what to do with themselves. They don't understand why they feeling what they feeling. They don't understand why they feeling what they are feeling. Second Kings, chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Talk for Kids Radio Channel. We are here, people. We are here trying to wake up these moms and these dads and these pastors and these leaders to get a hold to our young generation. They are being destroyed by homosexual activity, lesbianism, gang violence, drugs, alcohol, all of that is destroying the young people. It's destroying the young people. Give me a minute, people. Give me a minute. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 4. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go in the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. So this is King David, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Israel. He's getting ready to die. And he's telling his son Solomon that you got to be a man, Solomon. And Solomon, he took the throne at, Solomon was actually 12 years old when he became king of Jerusalem. He was 12 years old when his daddy David died. And he became the king of the children of Israel, Jerusalem. Okay? And his father David was telling him, Solomon, you got to be a man. At 12 years old, he was telling him, you got to be a man. Where's your daddy at? Where's the 7-year-old little daddy at? You know, the 7-year-old little girl. Where's her daddy? Where's her daddy? She don't have one. I'm talking about the black community right now. 95% of black children don't have a father living in a home with them. 95% people don't have a father living in a home with them. And if the father do live in a home, they on drugs, they into gang violence, they into selling drugs, cocaine, weed. They into all kind of things. And the children is living in a home, they watching the daddy. They watching and looking at the father, what he do and how he do. And this is how the child grew up to be just like the daddy, because the daddy was living in a home, but he didn't display no good behavior around the children. And it destroyed the little boy. And it destroyed the little girl. So David was telling Solomon, you got to be a man. You got to be a man in every situation in your life, son. You must be a man. Handle things in a way that a man will handle things. Even though you're 12 years old and you about to be the king of Israel, you got to be a man. We don't have no men today. And I speak that because I'm a woman. We don't have any men to meet today. I see a whole lot of so-called men, brothers that say they are men, but a man going to display man behavior. Okay, so David was telling Solomon to be a man. And how was he telling him that? Verse 3. He said, let's read verse 2 again, 1 Kings chapter 2. I go in the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore. He said, be strong, don't be weak. Don't be a coward. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Be very strong and courageous. And don't fear nothing and no one. Did my daddy tell me that? At 12 years old, absolutely not. What did my daddy tell me at 12 years old? Nothing that I can remember. Nothing that would help me to advance as a beautiful young lady in life. Nothing. Nothing. I can't remember absolutely nothing that my daddy told me to help me at 12 years old. My daddy or mom. I'm just dealing with the daddy right now. He didn't tell me nothing about being strong. He didn't tell me nothing about what I had to expect in life or what could happen in life. He didn't explain to me nothing about life. Every time I talked to my daddy on the phone, all he said, how you doing, baby? What you doing? And that's it. Basically, that was it. He didn't say, well, how you doing and what's going on in your life? Is everything okay with you? Is it anything you need to talk to me about, baby? Is it anything bothering you? Can daddy help you with anything? No, I never heard none of that from my father. He just called to check in on me and see how I was doing. And that was it, because I didn't live with my father. I didn't live with him. That's all he was doing, just calling to check and see how I was doing. But he never taught me anything about life, people. That's what I'm trying to say to you. He never taught me nothing about life. Nothing. And he's my father. He must have been a destroyed little boy growing up his own self, because there was absolutely nothing he could say to me and teach me and tell me. So David is telling his son, number one, you got to be strong, son. You got to be strong. And now the second thing he told him, look what he told him. And show thyself a man. Show thyself a man. That's what he told him to do. See, a man don't run away from situations. A man don't run away from problems. A man don't, you know, make excuses for his behavior and things that he is doing against his children, against his wife. He don't make excuses. He sit the whole family down. And he begin to talk to the children. I'm back, people. I got disconnected. I'm back. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. I would like to read an article right now. And the article here that I am going to read is The article that I'm about to read is dealing with childhood abuse. I'm only 7 years old. Why is my life full with pain and misery? I'm only seven. Help me. You have so many young people. So many young people saying, help me today. But yet still, they're not getting any help. Let me say it loud and clear. They're not getting no help from the church. They're not getting no help from school. They're not getting no help from their home. They're not getting no help from their friends. They're not getting no help from their family. They're not getting no help from no one today. No one. And that's why the child life is full of pain and misery, because they're not getting any help. Once you get so much pain in your heart will explode. Your heart will bust. You know, and that's why you have so many children commit suicide today. You have so many children commit suicide today. Why? Because they got too much pain in their hearts. They don't know how to deal with the pain. They don't know how to deal with the misery. They don't know how to deal with the rejection that they are getting in their schools. When they go to church, when they be around people, everybody's rejecting them. Instead of loving them and supporting them, they get a lot of rejection. And they don't know how to deal with the pain. So they end up taking their life, or they end up taking other people's lives, because they are hurting so very bad. They hurt it so very bad, and the only way they can display, you know, they have to, you know, so this is what it is, people. And you parents, all y'all can think about is yourselves, what I got to do, when I got to do, what I got to do, and you abandon your children. You abandon them while they even, a child can be abandoned while they even living in a house with you. A child can feel abandonment while they even living in the house with you. They can feel abandoned because you never talk to them, you never support them, you never sit them down, you never hug them, you never tell them that you love them. I know my mama, I didn't get no hugs from my mama. I didn't get no no hugs, no telling me she loved me. My mama never told me she loved me, but one time. Never got hugs. Never got no kind of communication about, you know, life and, you know, never, nothing positive. Nothing positive came from my mom, came from my dad, none of that, people. So this is why I am the advocate of young people, and this is why I have this radio channel, Talk for Kids radio channel, because I got to talk for the children, because I know how it feels. I know how it feels. I know what the children go through when they've been raped, when they've been abused, when they've been misused, when they've been rejected, when they, you know, I know that feeling. I know that feeling. And I would like to thank all the listeners that, I mean, the people that's been going back to listen to the recordings of the show, the audios. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. But I would love for you to call in and voice your opinion about this statement. You've been a child. See, what it is with grown people, and all kind of people, they want to just hide their life. They don't want to talk about it. You know, I don't want to talk about it that I was raped when I was 5 years old. I don't want to talk about it that my mama beat me and put me in a closet when I was 3 years old. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about that my uncle molested me. I don't want to talk about that my daddy raped me. Now I'm a homosexual. I don't want to talk about that. What happened to me? Well, if you don't talk about it, then you won't be able to help these young people in the world today. Because guess what, parents, they're going through the same thing that you went through as a 7-year-old little boy and a 7-year-old little girl. Okay, so the only way we're going to help our young people in this world today is to talk about what we went through as child, as children, and how we overcame it, how we survived it, how we survived being raped and molested as children. We got to talk about it. This is the only thing going to help the young people to understand what they are going through. Somebody else have already went through that and overcame that. But because you people choose to hide everything about your life, you can't help the young person. So the young person is exploding, and they're blowing up, and they're going crazy, and they're losing their mind, and they're going, they out of it. All because you are so private with my life. Oh, I don't want nobody to know about my life. I don't want nobody to know that my mom raped me. Oh, I don't want nobody to know that I'm a homosexual. Oh, I don't want nobody to know that I'm a lesbian. Oh, I don't want nobody to know that my mama beat me. Oh, I don't want nobody to know that my mama abandoned me and my daddy. Oh, no, I just keep that to myself because that's private. And guess what? You got blood on your hand because you went through what you went through so you could help these young people today go through what they are going through. You actually supposed to be a mentor of young people. Oh, I don't want nobody to know. You supposed to be a mentor. And that's why David was telling his son Solomon, be strong, son, because I have been through some of the things that you got to go through at 12 years old. David became the king of Israel. He was 30 years old. But Solomon, his son, is 12. So he tells him, be strong, son, because when I was 12 years old, I was being abused by my brothers. I think David had 7 brothers. From what I read in the Bible, he always was somewhere with the goats and with the sheep and all of that, with the animals. He stayed in the sheep, and he stayed out there in the field taking care of the animals. He wasn't allowed to be with other brothers was. So David was mistreated as a child. So that's why he telling his son, be strong. I know you're going to go through a lot of things as a 12-year-old little boy. So I'm telling you, be strong. I'm telling you to be a man. And I'm telling you, serve the God of Israel and keep his commandments so everything in your life will go well. You will prosper in everything that you have, that you do. Because that's what I did as a little boy. I kept the commandments of the God of Israel. I was strong when I was being abused, when I was being mistreated, when I was being manipulated by my brothers living in the house with me, and my mom and my dad. I was strong, and I was a man. I had to keep all the animals at 8 years old. I was a man. I did the things that a man would do at 7 years old. So I'm telling you to be strong, son. Next Bible verse. So you need to stop trying to, you know, hide your life. You know, I don't want to talk about the past. I don't want to talk about what happened with my mom. I don't want to talk about what happened with my dad. I just want to be quiet about everything. You being quiet is not going to, you know, it's not going to make it go away what you went through. Actually telling it and talking about it will bring forth some healing in your life, will bring forth some healing and deliverance and help in your life with what you have went through, parents, as children. Next Bible verse. I get tired of these so-called men and women in this earth that don't have enough love and don't have enough admiration to help our young people. They destroy their own selves because they don't have nobody to teach them about life, real life, like David taught Solomon. What he had to do, he had to go into the Bible, he had to read the commandments, he had to apply the law of the God of Israel to his life to help him. See, our young people ain't been taught nothing about the law of the God of Israel. The principles of life is the law. They don't know how to handle situations. When something happened in their life, they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to get no answers for it. Okay. Let's go to First Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. I keep telling y'all parents got a lot of blood on your hands. All these little children in graveyards because you was too good and you didn't have no time and you didn't have no support and you didn't have no love and you didn't have nothing for that little boy that killed himself. You got blood on your hands, parents, bishops, pastors, all of y'all people. Y'all have failed the youth. You have failed the young people in this world. Can't you see that you have failed them? When they going up in schools doing mass shootings, going up in grocery stores, shooting people down. Can't you see you have failed them? When the juvenile system is running over, they got to build more juvenile centers. Can't you see that you have failed the young people? When the jails are running over with 10 years old, 7, 8-year-old people, 15, 16, 20, can't you see it? You have failed this youth generation because you're too ashamed to talk about your life and what you went through and how your daddy raped you and your mama did this to you and your auntie did this and your cousin did that. You too ashamed to talk about your life. That's what's going to help the young people. Your very life, the things that you went through and survived will actually help the young person not to make the very same mistakes that you made in dealing with their pain and their miserable life. First Corinthians, man, chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. Yes, Solomon was a king at 12. Black man. Black man. David was a black man from the Hebrew nation. Black. Jerusalem, black. It's in Africa, okay? Our sons and our daughters supposed to be kings and queens. I'm a black woman. Why wasn't taught as a child that my ancestors was queens and kings? Why? Why wasn't taught that as a child that my ancestors was kings and queens? Don't you know if I was taught that as a child, I would have developed a beautiful, great character and personality about my own self? If I was taught who I was as a child, my ancestors, I'm a Hebrew woman, just like David was a Hebrew man. No, I wasn't taught nothing. I wasn't taught nothing but to drink and do drugs and do this and party and do this. All the things that my parents was doing, that's all I was taught. I wasn't taught about being great. I wasn't taught about being great people. And this is what's killing our black community, because our black community is a great people. They are kings and queens. Our ancestors come from Jerusalem. The Hebrew nation, the Hebrew kingdom is full of kings and queens, princes and princesses. Yes. Who do you think that was when they got off the slave ships? When they brought our ancestors from Africa? We are a great people, but we're teaching our children absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing, man. That's going to help them. That's going to make them great. That's going to give them, oh my God, we ain't teaching them nothing, people. Little Billy doing the same thing you did, Joe, when you was a little boy. Little Billy doing the same. You was an alcoholic. Little Billy an alcoholic at 15 years old. You was a dope dealer at 17, 19 years old. Now, little Billy is a dope dealer at 19 years old. You was a prostitute. Mama, you was a prostitute at 18 and 16. Now your little daughter is a whore and a prostitute. This is a never, never ending problem in our world, people. Nobody is teaching the young people how to be great. Nobody is teaching the young people how to be great. Who they are, where they come, what is your identity. They don't even know who they are. I know at 7 years old, I didn't know who I was. I was totally lost. I didn't have a clue. It was only when I met the God of Israel that I began to find out who I am. Only then, not when I was in the Christian church. The Christian church don't teach you about who you are. The Christian church only teach you about Jesus. Love Jesus. Love God. Pay your tithes. That's all you're going to get out the Christian church. You ain't going to never learn about who you are, where you come from, what's your identity, where you got to go, what you got to do, how life's going to be, what life going to give you. You ain't going to never learn none of that in Christianity, church as Catholic, and none of the rest of them. So it is useless. to send your children to church. It is absolutely useless. And if you parents ain't figured that out yet, you got kids in jail right now at 15, 18 years old, was raised in church. Raised in church. Went to church every Sunday with their mama and their daddy, or just with their mama. Every Sunday. But right now, people, the jails are running over with little children that went to church, growed up in the church. The jails and the juvenile hall and the graveyards are running over with our children that set up in Sunday school and youth service. It ain't going to help them, people. It ain't going to help them. The only thing is going to help them is what David told Solomon. Keep the commandments. Keep the law. Keep the statutes. Keep the judgments of the God of Israel, and you will prosper, and everything will go well with you, Solomon. Everything will go well with you. Wherever you go, it'll go well. But we haven't been taught like that, and that's the problem. That's the main problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6 and 8. Howbeit, it says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hidden wisdom. Wisdom of God. Mysteries of God. If I would have knew the wisdom of the God of Israel when I was growing up, my life would have been so much happy. I wouldn't have had so much pain and so much misery. I wasn't taught nothing but negativeness in my life. Negativeness, negativeness, negative, 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 negative. Everywhere, my whole environment was just full of negativeness. Every day, all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, negative. Everything. Drugs, alcohol, prostitution, you name it, everything. I don't even supposed to be here today. All the stuff I've been through, I don't even supposed to be here today, people. But I'm still here. Why am I here? I'm here to help young people. I'm here to help old people. I'm here to help all kind of people because I've been through so much stuff in my life. I got so much experience of things in my life that I'm here just to help somebody. And that's the only reason I'm here. That's the only reason I'm here. I'm not here for nothing else. The God of Israel have preserved my life this long for nothing else but to tell my life story, to try to help these young people and try to help these old people and wake them up. And wake them up to let them see what we are doing is destroying our own selves. And we teach our children that very same destruction. Psalms 8, verse 2. Let me see how much time I got, people. I'm going to read this article, too. It says, this is the article right here about child abuse. Don't turn it so loud. Signs and symptoms of abuse, neglect. signs and symptoms of abuse, neglect. Okay? This is an article about child abuse. Everybody is being abused as a child. I say about 3% of children or young people that live with their mom or their dad, it's only about 3% that's not being abused. Only 3%, a very small number of people. It's called Signs and Symptoms of Abuse and Neglect. Behavior clues. Infants, excessive crying, or developmental delay. When you got babies, keep crying and crying and crying, something is wrong with the baby. The baby is being neglected, or the baby is being abused. Another clue. Fear, anxiety, clinging. Fear and anxiety. So many young people got fear. I had a lot of fear growing up. I had so much fear. I was afraid of everything. People, everything. I had a lot of fear. I had a lot of fear because of all the abuse that I went through, mental, physically, and emotionally. And at 7 years old, I started to realize that I was being abused. It started when I was 3 years old. But at seven, I began to realize that somebody is hurting me. My life is not right. Some, you know, people are abusing me and mistreating me. That's why I worded at 7 years old, help me. Because that's when I began to cry out at 7 years old for somebody to help me. But I couldn't get no help from my mama, my dad, and nobody. So fear and anxiety. I had a lot of anxiety. The children today, the young people, they have a lot of anxiety. A lot of it. Even older people. Because you was abused when you was a little boy and a little girl. So you don't grow up with all that fear and all that anxiety in your life now. And you don't know how to deal with it. So what you do, you go into the psychiatrist and to the doctor office for them to prescribe you some medication for your anxiety and your fear. But can't no medication get rid of anxiety. Can't no medication get rid of anxiety and pain and misery. I don't care how much medication you take. You go into the doctor saying you don't feel good, you know, I'm unhappy, you know, I got pain, I don't feel good, I'm depressed. Can't no medication get rid of depression. Y'all listen to me. Listen to me, a woman that been through all kind of stuff in her life. Can't no medication help you people. Can't no medication help your children. So please stop taking your kids to the psychiatrist and doping them up with all that ADHD medication and all that medication that you are giving your child because your child is depressed or your child is miserable or got anxiety. Can't no medication help them. The only thing that's going to help them, if you parents, you sit down and sit down and deal with your child and talk to your child and hug your child and love your child and ask them, why do you have so much fear? What is so wrong? Why are you so nervous? And what is wrong with you? But instead of y'all parents doing that, you rather stick them in a doctor office somewhere and dope them up with all kind of medication. Thorazine and all that kind of madness. You rather dope them up instead of trying to sit down and talk to them about what you went through as a little girl and a little boy. Maybe that'll help them. Oh, well, I was raped, honey. Yeah, my daddy raped me. I was only 4 years old. you know, just, you know, start talking about your life to your children, man. Your children need to actually see that you are real people. They need to actually feel that you are real. Stop being so robotic with your children. Stop being so fake with your children, man. Tell them things you went through. Tell them about things they're going to go through in life. And I'm going to see how much time we got. Let me go to Psalms. And another one said, nightmares, these are all signs of abuse. Nightmares, sleeping problems, bedwetting. I know my brother, he used to wet the bed till he was like 13 years old. Why? Because he'd been mental, physically abused, molested, and all of that. He used to wet the bed at 13 years old. And my mama used to beat him. And what you beating him for? You the main problem. You was the main source of my brother's childhood abuse. So why are you beating him? Because he peeing in the bed. You don't want to let somebody molest him. You let somebody rape him. You let somebody do something wrong with him. You neglected my brother. He's the oldest out of all of us, my brother. He's been through a lot of childhood abuse. My brother, he's been through a lot of childhood abuse. And guess what? He don't even talk about nothing that he's been through in his life. I cannot get my brother to talk about his childhood at all. He won't say nothing. He won't talk to me about when he was a little boy. He won't say nothing happened when he was a little boy, what happened to him. None of that. But I can remember because at 7 years old, I was a really smart little girl. I can remember my brother just crying and how he used to wet the bed and, you know, my mama used to get mad and, you know, pull him up out the bed. He was like 12, 13 years old. Pull him up out the bed and, you know, whoop him with a belt. And then she strip him out of all of his clothes and put him outside on the back porch. And she wouldn't let him come in the house for all night. He had to stay on the back porch, trembling and shaking, butt naked in the wintertime. Because he wet the bed because he's been abused and raped and mistreated and neglected by his own mama and his own daddy. Instead of my mama saying, it's my fault why my son is doing this. I'm the one caused this abuse and this neglect to come in my son's life. Instead of her doing that, she went on more with her neglection to my brother. So bedwetting. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms 8. Psalms 8 verse 2. I don't know how much time I got, people. I'll check in a minute. Psalms 8, 2. Psalms 8, 2. Let me see. I got a little time left. Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. Give me a minute. Okay. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Let's see what David said now. We already saw what he told his son Solomon at 12 years old when he was getting ready to be king of Jerusalem. Psalms 8, verse 2. Let's start at verse 1. O Ohio, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Has set the glory above the heavens. Verse 2 of Psalms 8. Out of the mouth of babies and sucklings have thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes, little bitty babies. Baby got the throne at 12 years old. Josiah, another king, he proceeded the throne at 8 years old. Out of the mouth of babes, the God of Israel have ordained strength. Young people are so very strong, but the way that they are being programmed and the way that they are being taught and the way that they are being raised and the way that they are being brought up is making them very, very weak. Very, very weak. The average young person don't even know what strength means. They don't even know what strength is. If you ask a young person about 12 or 15 years old, 8 years old, they can't even answer the answer, what is strength? Because they haven't been taught what is strength. They've been taught to be weak. They've been taught to be drug dealers, lesbians and homosexuals and prostitutes and drunks. And church folks and church goers, they're not being taught strength. They're not being taught that they are kings and they are queens and that we have a great history behind our life as Hebrews. They're not being taught about the Hebrew kingdom and the Hebrew nation and the God of Israel and the law and the covenant of the God of Israel, the principles of life that will help them to be a great and prosperous person in this earth. They're not being taught that. We wasn't taught, and they not taught. When somebody gonna catch hold to what we need to do to change a society and the generations of young people that are falling every day to the wayside? Next Bible verse, Psalm 17:14. From men, which are thy hand, O Ohio, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasures. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babies. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babies. As for me, I will behold thy face, Ohio, and righteousness, David said. I will be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. With thy light, it's in the belly of life, people. You need to learn about life, Matt. You need to get some sense. You need to get some understanding. And you need to get some real wisdom that comes from the God of Israel to help these young people today in this world, people. I'm telling you, we have a genocide. We have a genocide of young people in this earth. A genocide. Do y'all know what a genocide means? It means millions and millions and millions and millions of young people are dying every day to suicide, to rape, to gang violence, drugs, alcohol, anxiety, depression, suicide. We have a genocide among our young people, and ain't nobody doing nothing about it. Don't nobody care. Talk for Kids Radio Channel. Don't nobody care, people. Don't nobody care about little Joe and little Steve and little Bob and Billy and all and Connie and Sue and Titi and Taya. Don't nobody care about these young people, man. And it's a genocide of death among them. Death. Blowing their home brains out. Killing everybody in the household. Losing their mind, man. Losing their mind. Listen, I'm still reading an article about child abuse. I'm reading signs and symptoms. This is how you know when a child is being abused, okay? Bedwetting, fear and anxiety. So afraid they won't even go out the front door. I got a nephew. My nephew is 30 years old. He don't even go out the front door to do nothing. He don't go out. He sit there in front of the PlayStation 5 all day, every day. And he's 30 years old. 30 years old. Fear and anxiety. Why? Because he's been abused by his mom, by his dad. He's been abused, Keith. These are signs. You think, oh, yeah, anxiety, oh, little Billy, oh, I'm going to just take him to the psychiatrist and have the psychiatrist to talk to him and, you know, give him some pills. No, people, they need to be mentored too. They need mentorship. They need leadership. They need communication. They need support. They need love. And I'm going to my nephew. I'm going there too. I'm going there. I ain't seen him in a while. But you can bet when I get there where my nephew is, I'm going to sit him down and I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to talk to him about life. Because he live with my mama. He live with my, you know, his auntie, my sister. And, you know, these people that live in there, they don't talk to him about life. My brother. I told you my brother don't never talk about his childhood to nobody. He had a lot of abuse and neglect in his childhood. So my nephew living around all these people, my mama, she narcissist, crazy. Crazy and narcissist even to this day. Won't admit what she did wrong to her children even to this day. So my nephew and my sister, she's been neglected and abused, my brother. My nephew is living in a household like this, so he can't get no help there. He can't get no help there. He can't get no help there, Pete. He spent his life in the basement every day in front of Xbox, PlayStation. That's his way of escape, freezing his mind, you know, not dealing with his emotions about things that he's been through in his life. See, that's why they created entertainment and TV and PlayStations and cell phones and all this technology and stuff that we have, Facebook and TikTok and all that, YouTube. Why? Because they don't want us to deal with reality. They don't want, who is they? The government, the people that rule your cities and states, your governments and presidents and queens and all them people, kings. They don't want us to deal with reality. That's why they made all the entertainment and the stuff to keep your mind locked and froze So you won't deal with your emotions, and you won't deal with your feelings, and you won't deal with yourself, and you won't deal with your mama, and you won't deal with your brother, and you won't deal with your children, and you won't deal with nobody. Because I'm too busy watching TV. I'm too busy on my cell phone. I'm too busy. This is why all these things were set up, to keep us busy. Still reading the article, The Signs and Symptoms. Bedwetting, social withdrawal. When a child don't want to be around people, when a child don't want to talk and communicate with nobody, when a child want to be always to themselves and scared to be around other people, and all that, and then you got grown people this way today. Why? Because a grown person has been abused as a child. They've been abused as a child. I'm reading you signs and symptoms of child abuse. So the reason you got anxiety is because you was abused by someone when you was a little girl or a little boy. That's why you got anxiety and fear. Social withdrawal. You don't want to socialize with nobody. You stay to yourself. Withdrawal. Hyperactivity, real hyper. You can't sit still. You're nervous. You're flittery. The child is flittery, nervous. Poor concentration. Distractibility. When the child can't concentrate and it's poor and she can't study and keep focus, when your focus is on, this is a sign that you've been abused, that your child is being abused, that you as a parent have been abused. Poor focus. Poor concentration. Decreased school performance, when a child is not performing well in school. Just sit up in the classroom all day, sleeping, won't raise their hand, won't keep up with the assignments in school, won't follow along with the lessons. This is a sign that your child has some form of abuse in their life, whether it's some sexual abuse, neglect, or physical or mental abuse. This is signs. This is a sign. Okay? Next one, chronic school absence. Speech disorder. When they study and they can't talk clear. You know, my brother was like that. Now that I think about it. My brother, when he was like, I guess 14 years old. He was stutter a lot, stutter. And he still stutter today. But when he was young, he studied way more than what he studied today. Why? This is a sign that my brother was abused when he was a child. This is a sign that he was abused. He live an isolated life right now, too. He never been married. He don't have no kids. This is a sign, people. Okay. Regressive behavior for age. Seems afraid of parents. When the child is so scared of the mom or the dad. Why? Because the mom and the dad have been abusing the child. Been mistreating the child in wrong ways. So the child is terrified of the parent. Because the parent would throw the little boy in the closet or the little girl in the closet, tie them up. Yeah, put them in a room and make them turn their face to the wall for 3 hours. All this is abuse and neglect. Okay, eating issues. When the child overeat, obesity, Just eat. When you eat a lot, whether you're a child or an adult, it's a sign that you have been abused in your life. You've been abused with some form of abuse in your life or neglect. Eating is a symptom of abuse. Overeating, people. I know I used to be 400 pounds. Why was I eating so much, people? Because I was living in a house with a man, my husband. He was a very abusive man. I was living with him for 25 years, marriage. And I ate myself into a Bolivian, 400 pounds, because I was so very depressed and miserable in my marriage because my husband was very mental and physically abusive and emotionally abusive towards me. So this is another sign. Thank God that I'm not 400 now. This is another sign, too. Eating issues. When you eat a lot, depression, passivity, increased verbal abuse or physical. When you keep calling people names and, you know, talking and physically hitting on people and all of that, this is a form that you have been abused or the child has been abused. This child abuse. Destroy and injure objects or pets. When you abuse animals and beat up on things and punch holes in walls and all of that, this is a form, this is a sign that you've been abused as a child and you are being abused as a child right now. Substance abuse, when you do drugs a lot. I know I started smoking weed and drinking alcohol when I was about, I'd say 5 years old, maybe six years old, I started drinking, doing weed and smoking drugs, doing drugs and alcohol at 6 years old. Why? Because I was being abused. I was being abused. All of these behaviors that I am reading is going on in this world right now today. And this shows that 97.7% of the world has had some form of abuse in their life. And this is why we react with each other the way we act. This is how we react. This is why we react with our children the way that we act, because we've been abused, and now we're abusing our child. And if our children, and just keep going on and on and on. I'm getting ready to leave now. So substance abuse, self-harm, such as cutting. You got people like to cut themselves. Cut themselves. Take knives and just cut themselves. Why? They have some form of childhood abuse in their life. Whether it was rape, molestation, getting beat on, whatever it was. It was verbal abuse, emotional abuse. It was some form of abuse that the person would like is cutting on themselves. When children cut on themselves, when they harm themselves, take pencils or something, sticking on it. I think I read an article one time where a girl was just eating cotton or something. She had to eat like cotton or. See, this is all forms of abuse. She was eating something. She was harming her own self. It's called self-harm. Self-harm. Sexualized behavior. Prostitution, that's a form of abuse as a child. Homosexual, that's a form of abuse as a child. Somebody raped you. Somebody raped a little boy, he's a homosexual right now. No, you're not born no homosexual. Don't believe that matters. You've been raped or you've been sexually mistreated in some kind of way that you are a homosexual or you are a lesbian. Okay? When you see a little boy walking around in high heel shoes and all, somebody is messing with that little boy. You see a little girl walking around in men underwear or something like that. Somebody has did something to that little girl. Don't believe that stuff. You was born to be gay. No, there's no such thing. The God of Israel put you in this world beautifully and wonderfully made. And he didn't make you gay. He made you a man and he made you a woman. And he made you to like men and he made you to like women. He made Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. So, withdraw to touch, afraid exam, overland complaint. Okay, so painful parts. So you get the picture. This is just some behavioral traits when you know that your child is being abused or even that you as a grown person have been abused. Okay, let's go to the next scripture here, Isaiah 3:4. And we are about to leave in the minute. Isaiah 3:4. And one thing about people that want to hide their childhood abuse, when you bring up things about their childhood, or when you talk to young people, you know, I try to talk to my grandson. I'm an advocate. I love talking to young people. You know, I have talked to several young people, you know, about how is their life and what's going on in their household with their parents and their mom. And, you know, most of them say everything is okay because they don't want to deal with the emotions and the feelings that came along with their abuse. And that's why they choose to hide it, and they choose to pretend like everything is okay with their life, nothing is going wrong in their house, everything is okay with their daddy, and their mom and their daddy going up beside their head. Their daddy might be making them feel bad. Their daddy might be raping them. Their daddy might be verbally abusing them or their mom, you know, but they choose not to deal with it, so they just say, I'm okay. So when you get people always saying, when you're trying to have a conversation with somebody, and they always said, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, it's okay, it's okay. These are the kind of people that have been abused. Because I told you 97.7 people in this world have been abused. Almost 100% have been abused. But it's not, I don't think everybody, 97.7 I say. When you catch people like that, it's okay, it's good. They always say stuff like that. No, I'm okay, I'm good, I don't got nothing, I'm all right. These are the people that have been abused in their childhood. There's nothing in this world that's okay every time you talk with a person. That's not even reality, that every time you talk to someone and ask them how they're doing, that they're okay. That's not even reality. These people are lying, man. When you talk to children and you ask them that, and they say they're okay and nothing is wrong, I'm all right, they lying. They are lying. They don't want to deal with the reality of what they really going through and what they really are feeling. Okay? This is a big word today. I'm okay. I'm okay. I mean, everybody's using that. I'm okay. No, I'm not okay. I'm depressed. I'm miserable. I got a lot of pain. I'm not okay. I don't feel good. I'm emotionally feeling sick. No, but they ain't going to talk to you like they're going to just say, I'm okay. Everything is all right. So the next scripture we have here is Isaiah 3:4. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. I will give children to be their princes. Little Joe and Bob and Tawaya and Kiki and May May and T.E., they will be princes and prince over them. Babes. That's why Solomon went to the throne at 12 and Josiah at 8 years old. Babes will rule over them. Children are so very smart. Children are so very smart. But they've been taught to be so very dumb. They've been programmed to be dumb. They've been programmed not to use the knowledge and the sense that they already have. I'm talking about the black community. They've been taught to be dumb. They don't understand how to deal with life circumstances and situations. They're programmed by the government. All the programs that you see in this world was created by the government. They've been programmed to be weak and stupid. They've been programmed to not be great. They say, he said, princes will rule babies. The children of Israel as little babies was great. They had inheritance that was given to them by their father. They would inherit the throne at 3 years old. They would be princes at 5 years old and prince at 10 years old. I'm talking about the Hebrew nation. This is the most greatest nation on the face of the earth. Dealing with the black community. But look at our black community. Full of drugs, prostitution, alcohol, everything, man. All the communities. Black, white, pink, purple, don't matter what community, it's messed up, man. It's a very, very hard thing, people. When you have been abused all your life, like me, and then you grow up to see that it's not getting no better, everything is just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. No children are being helped, just like I wasn't helped when I was a little girl. And it's so mind blowing to me that I can see the very exact same thing that I went through as a child, that these young people are going through, and I didn't get no help, and they not getting none either. It's a mind-blowing thing to me, please. And this is one reason why I made Talk for Kids Radio channel, because I want to express and address our problems. No, I'm not okay. No, I'm not okay. I'm not happy. I'm sad. What is wrong with you saying you're sad? What is wrong with you saying I'm not okay? What is wrong with you saying I'm not feeling good? What is wrong with you saying I need a hug? I need a hug from you, Mama. I need a hug from you, Daddy. I need a hug. What's wrong with you saying, parent? Come here, baby. Sit next to your daddy. And let your daddy give you some love. Because I can see you need your daddy. Lay in your daddy's lap. What's wrong with expressing emotions and feelings? Absolutely nothing. And this is why everybody is so like clones. even the children and the men and women, everybody to me is like clones because they're not dealing with real emotions and personalities. It's like clone. Everybody's just like a clone to me, man. Because they're not addressing and we're not connecting and feeling and loving and supporting and being there for each other and being real with one another. No, I don't like you. Let the child express how they feel. Mom, if they got a problem with you, sit the child down and say, what's wrong with you? Well, Mom, I don't like this about you, and I don't like that about you, and Mama, you did this to me, and Mama, you did that to me. Yes, it's good. Let this child express all of that emotion pain that they got so they won't grow up to hurt somebody or hurt their own self. Let them do that. Don't stop the child from communicating and expressing how they feel. Please don't do that. My mama did never want to sit down and listen to how I felt. My daddy never wanted to sit down and listen to how I felt, man. They tell me, be quiet or go to your room or, you know, yeah, we'll talk about it another time. And that's why we got so many killers and murderers and rapists and drug users and lesbians and homosexuals. Why? Because nobody is dealing with reality here. Next Bible verse. We got one, well, Matthew 11:25. Still got quite a few people. Let me get going here because I'm running out of time. Matthew 11:25. They want to put the children on a pretty little dress and a pretty little suit and dress the kids up, but the children are empty and tore up and miserable inside and depressed and don't know who they is and don't know what they need to do. They got them dressed up on the outside, but the child is going through pure hell on the inside. Believe me. They're going to do pure the hell. Matthew 11:25. And at that time, Yeshua answered, I don't call him Jesus, I don't go in that. I call him by his Hebrew name. Jesus is English and Greek. He's not an English, he's a Hebrew. A Jew. At that time, Yeshua answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, a higher of heaven, or God of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babies. To babies. You will be surprised what a child can tell you. You would be surprised, parents, grown people, what a child can say to you and teach you and tell you. The God is, you say, I have revealed this to the babies. But y'all want to keep the children quiet. You don't want them to talk. You don't want them to say nothing to you. Oh, girl, sit down. You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. You're just a child. I can remember my grandma and them saying that stuff to me all the time. They don't know what I wanted to tell them. They wouldn't give me a chance to say what I needed to say to them. As a child, you always been silent. You always got to go to your room. You always got to shut up. And this is not, as I have revealed it, my wisdom, my knowledge, my understanding to babies. Why? Because children are innocent. And the God of Israel talked to, he loved to communicate with innocent people. They innocent. little children are innocent. So the God of Israel is always talking to a child. He started talking to me at 3 years old. 3 years old. I knew things that grown people knew at 3 years old. At 3 years old, I knew things that grown people knew at 3 years old. So, yes, next Bible verse. Stop silencing that child, man. Let that child talk. Let that child express. Let that young person speak whatever he need or she needs to speak that's on their mind, man. Whatever it is. Drugs, alcohol. Yeah, mama, can I have a talk? Yeah, mom, I've been smoking weed. You know, I've been smoking weed now for 1 year. And I'm 8 years old, but I've been smoking weed for 1 year. I'm 10 years old, 12. I just want to tell you, mama, that's what I've been doing. What? You've been doing what? I'm going to beat your ass. You know better than doing that. I'm going to beat your ass. Why are you doing that? Go to your room. Go to your room. You're on punishment for a whole 7 days. Don't come out of that damn room. You ain't going over your friend's house. You ain't going nowhere. You doing what? Smoking weed. And the child, the little young person is just literally just trying to sit down and communicate with his parents and be real with them and tell them what they're doing. And, just trying to just communicate. Instead of them talking to the young person and trying to understand why the young person is smoking weed at 7 years old, instead of them doing that, they abuse them with words. I'ma beat your ass. You ain't no good. You how you get involved with them old badass kids in the neighborhood. All of that stuff. Or what they need to be saying, well, you know what? You know what, son? It's okay. I understand that you got involved with the wrong people and we're gonna work it out. We're gonna help the situation. You know, I'm gonna do all I can to support you so you can get off the weed or the drugs or whatever's bothering you or wrong. Instead of them doing that, they abuse the children with verbal abuse. And then that locked the child down. It shut the child down. So the child never ever come back to the mom or the dad and ever talk to them about nothing ever else again that's going on in their life. So they start hiding things in their life then. Because they try with mama one time and daddy. But mom and daddy shut down on them quick. So now they say, oh, well, what I'm going to tell my mom for? What I'm going to tell my dad? They ain't going to do nothing but holler at me. They ain't going to do nothing but scream at me. They ain't going to try to talk to me and figure out what's wrong with me and why I'm doing this. So, no, I'm a lesbian or I'm a homosexual. I'll just keep that to myself. I'm not going to tell my mom and dad. I'm a prostitute. I'm a gang leader. I ain't going to tell them. See, this is how we destroy the relationship with our children. When they come to us and try to confide in us and we reject them. We reject them. Just because they made a mistake and they start smoking weed or they joined a gang or, you know, they doing drugs or, you know, or they having sex or whatever they're doing. Whatever they're doing, they come to you to build some form of support so they can get help. But instead of you helping them, you make them feel more worser and more badder. And then now they say, I never talk to my mama. I never talk to my daddy about nothing that I'm going on in my life. I just deal with it myself. And this is what is going on. The young people are dealing with it themselves, and now they're dealing with it so they ain't got nobody to talk to, no support. So they're just blowing up, man. They're blowing up. Okay? Let me give you the next Bible verse. I need to see how much time I have. Let me check. Try to this. Okay. 3 minutes remaining, let's say. Okay, people, I got a little time left. I'm getting ready to leave. Matthew 21:16. And say unto him, he is what these said, and Yeshua said unto them, yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babies and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Thou hast perfected praise, God of Israel. Out of the mouth of babes, little children, infants, little children and sucklings are infants. He perfected praise. Is our little children, our little babies and our children, are they being taught to praise the God of Israel? No, they're not. No, they are not being taught to praise the God of Israel. And he said he has perfected praise. This is a perfect praise that we can give the God of Israel from a baby or an infant. Perfect praise. But you feel they're too little and they're too young and they don't know what they said and they don't know what they're talking about. Oh, shut up, girl. When they go to church, they just sit on the pew and listen all day while, you know, y'all up in there shouting and all of that. Get that little girl or that little boy that might. And I guarantee you that church will light up. It'll light up because the God of Israel have perfected praise out of the mouth of babes. Give them the mic. Let them begin to worship the God of Israel. Let them begin to sing to the God of Israel. Let them begin to praise the God of Israel and see how the God of Israel will show up in that place. He wants the young people to praise him. He wants the young people to thank him. He wants the young people to glorify him. He gave it to them. When he put them in this earth, when he put all us in this earth, as a baby, I wasn't taught to do nothing. I wasn't taught to praise the God of Israel or sing to the God. None of that. I'm trying to remember what I was taught. When I was a baby, again, all negative things, not nothing positive and good. We think we got it all figured out, don't we, parents? I'm in overtime now. We think we have it all figured out, don't we? But we don't. We don't. And we are losing generations of our young people. We losing them now. We have lost them. We have lost them. We have lost. you want them to be the way you was. No, young people want to be the way they want to be because the God of Israel have given them wisdom and knowledge that you don't even know they have as young people. Try to talk to them and figure out why they are doing the things that they're doing, why they acting the way they acting. Try to build a relationship with your children now, a real, real relationship. They need it. They need it. You need it because that young person is going to teach you some parents that you don't even know. You don't even know and you don't understand like they do because the God of Israel blessed these young people. They innocents. They babies. Thinking about my little granddaughter, she's so smart at 7, 8 years old. But again, she living in a house where everybody in the house has been abused, has been through childhood abuse. Everybody in the house where my little granddaughter living, everybody been through childhood abuse. So what you think my granddaughter is learning right now? All negative things. She's not building no communication skills. She's not building no social skills. She's not building no kind of wisdom and understanding about her life because nobody in the house where she lives is talking to her about life or anything. She's very smart, too. Very smart. They're not teaching her about the laws and of the God of Israel, something that's going to help her life to prosper and help her to be great. That's what's wrong with us. That's why we're not great, because we weren't taught the law and the covenant of the God of Israel. That's what messed up our greatness and our life. And now young people don't even like reading the Bible. They don't like reading the Bible because they think the Bible is just some, you know, it's some religious book or it's some church book or it's something that was wrote so many years in ancient times ago that it ain't got nothing to do with their life and it ain't got nothing to do with them. And that's not true. They have everything to do with you, young and old. Next Bible verse. Luke 10:21, and we have two more after that, and that's it. Luke 10:21, I'm going to leave people. Luke 10:21. Yes. The God of Israel used me to change a lot of young people's lives, all in just communicating with them, talking to them, them being open with me and talking about their life and, you know, and me giving them solutions because I've been through everything you can name. There's absolutely nothing in this world that you can name that I haven't did or been through. And I survived it. I'm a survivor today. Okay. Luke 10:21. It says, in that hour, the Shire rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, a higher of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. The things that young people know, you grown people never know. You grown people never know. Because he have revealed the wisdom to the babies, the young people. they are so very smart and they're so very intelligent. But the programming began to start when they're 3 years old. They start putting them in front of cartoons, and, you know, they start putting them in front of cartoons and, you know, shows on TV and, you know, putting all the more toys in front of their face, you know, the Barbies, the white Barbie dolls and the trucks. And, you know, they start programming our children at young ages with toys and televisions and cartoons and all that kind of stuff. And it destroyed the wisdom. Sorry about the noise, people. It destroys the wisdom that the God of Israel gives them. The programming. Television destroyed it, Mom. Y'all didn't know that? Television destroyed your mind. I don't like TV. I ain't watched TV in 15 years. I hate TV. I hate it. Hate it. H-A-T-E. Hate. It's just a big old program box that's destroying our young people's wisdom and knowledge that the God of Israel got in them, teaching them all kind of bad habits and, you know, unmoral things. It's terrible. TV is terrible, man. Movies and all that stuff, theaters and all. I don't deal in that no more. I don't deal in this stuff no more. That's why I've been able to separate myself and deprogram myself, come out of the programming of the mind of this society and this generation. No, I don't want it. Then they got now the cell phones is a big thing now. See, everything these people come out and make is just to destroy us as a people and destroy our children. Now, the little child got to have a cell phone at 5 years old. What sense do you need to buy your child a cell phone at five? What do a child need with a cell phone at 5 years old? What do a child need with a cell phone at 7 years old? Oh, well, you know, you got to... You know, it's so much going on. This is your excuse, parents. It's so much going on. You know, I got to keep up with my child. Something happened. They got to be able to call me. Well, shouldn't nothing happen if you do your job as a parent and watch your children and make sure they are safe and living in a good environment. Yeah, if you got them living in west side of Chicago with all the gang violence and drugs and alcohol and all that stuff, yeah, something going to happen. They might end up losing their life, like a lot of young people is losing their life to gun violence. Innocent hate ain't just in the wrong place. That's the environment that you choose to put your child in. They don't need no cell phone. It's all technology, man. It's destroying our mind, our wisdom, our focus, our everything, man. It's been drained out of us and out of our children. Reality. Cell phones and video games, they put you in a false reality, man. A false world and a mind just like frozen. Okay, I'm about to leave now. Romans 2:20. One more after that. But you got to do what everybody else do. Because May down the street, her little girl got a cell phone. You got to buy your little daughter one. You got to do what everybody else do, man. Because my little daughter went and joined. I got to get her some, you know, I got to get my next door neighbor, got to buy her daughter some Jordans. It's just everything that everybody else do, you got to do it so you'll feel like you fit in. I don't want to fit in. I don't want to fit in this world. I want to be what the God of Israel put me in this world to be and do. And I want my children to be and do what the God of Israel put them in this world to be and do. I don't need them to be programmed with trucks at 2 or 3 years old, toys, so they can go work for some corporation. That's how they program the little boys to get jobs. They put a little a dump truck, a little toy at 2 or 3, 5 years old. They found dump trucks and all kind of little trucks and stuff. And, you know, they're programming a child right there that you're going to get a job, you're going to drive a truck, and, you know, you're going to be able to drive a dump truck. And they put the blocks in front of our children. They call them Legos, you know, teaching them to build. You know what that means? You're going to build my house. You're going to build my corporation. You're going to build my schoolhouses. Yes, the programming started at a young age, people, with toys, all kind of things that the mind is being programmed to do. Yeah. Them toys that you're going to put out on your Christmas tree, they're actually bad for your children. They're actually bad for your children. All them toys and joys and stuff, you're going to get them. Please, parents, stop the madness. You're destroying your child. Stop it. I destroyed both of my sons, okay? Stop it. Why? Because I wanted them to be like everybody else. I wanted my son to wear Ivan at 15, at 12 years old, I had to buy my son a $200 pair of gym shoes because the boy around the corner had some. See what I'm saying? This is just stupidity. We are so very foolish and dumb people and parents when it comes to our children now. He's killing your child, man. Every time you put a pair of Jordans on your child's feet, you're killing him, man. Why? Because he's going to grow up to get them Jordans. He's going to do, when you ain't got the money to buy them, he's going to go do whatever he got to do to get them. And that's why our jail's overcrowded, too. Just for a pair of Jordan gym shoes, I couldn't get them. So I killed James around the corner. I robbed him and took his money. And then I killed them. Yeah. Talk for Kids Radio Channel. We here live today. Romans 2:20. See, I don't came out of the programming now. I'm learning now. I know, I understand now. I understand the things that I did, parents, to destroy my own children. Trying to talk to my children now to get them to understand, you know, what it is. But they, you know, they so deep into this society and this way of life that they just don't want to hear and listen to it. It's too late, probably. It's too late. They too far gone. They don't want to give it up now. They love it now. They love the video game. They love the PlayStation at 30 or 40 years old, 50, 60 years old, 20. They don't want to let it go now. I should have never put it in my son's face at 3 years old. That was my fault. It's my fault. Romans 2:20. I got to go now, people. They're going to cut me off. I gotta go now, people. I gotta go now. I'm in it to win, people. I'm in it to win. I don't care about my life. I don't care about my life. I care about helping somebody else's life be what my life was, could never be. That's what I care about. Waking somebody up so they can see their self. They can see what's going on in their life to understand. I don't care about me because I know I'm just preserved here because I got shot in my face. I died and talked to the God of Israel and came back. So I know I'm just here to help someone else, to show you what need to be and what got to be done for us to help our children. The graveyard's full with them now. So full, car crashes, gun violence, all kind of death young people are having today, man. It's off the hook, people. It's so much death among them. They put, you know, when the children, the little boys, they play with cars. Why did they make toy cars? Because they was programming the little boy when he get older. He got to get a job and buy that car. That car that he played with when he was 3 years old, he's going to grow up and say, I want a car just like that when I get 20 years old. See, and whatever he got to do, whether it's work or rob or kill or whatever, because all of his bad working is no good either, because that take all your time away from your life and everything. You need your own. Your own business, your own way, your own money, your own everything. So the program is start very young, my people. It says, an instructor, Romans 2:20, one more after this and I'm gone. An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babies, which has the form of knowledge and the truth and the law. Let me start from verse 19. And are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish. That's what I am. An instructor of the foolish. Because I've been a fool. I did a lot of foolish things when I was a little girl. Growing up, even up until now, I still do foolish things. But I have learned so much now about my life to understand that I don't need to do that. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. I don't need to go there. I don't need to have this. I don't need to wear this. Instructor of fools, it says. A teacher of babies. That's what I want to do. I want to teach young people. I want to teach young people. I want to teach them. I want to show them how to be self-sufficient in life. How to have their own everything. How to motivate a young person. I want to motivate them for change, for greatness. First Peter 2:2. First Peter 2:2, people. Last one for today. Talk for Kids Radio Channel. Why is my life full of pain and misery? I am only 7. Help me. Wherefore, lay aside all malice. Verse 1.
and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So people, with that, I'm going to get ready to get out of here. And I will talk to you parents next week. I will talk to you people next week. Talk for Kids Radio channel. Make it a difference in our black community and all over the world with our young people. Talk to y'all later.